Parsha Shlach! Oh boy, what a sad story. I wish they would have said nice things about Eretz Yisrael. Things would have been so much better. But they didn't. Moshe chose 12 spies, sent them to the land to check it out, and they came back with a negative report, 10 out of 12! A whole million of naysayers! Except for Yehoshua and Kalev. I know a lot of people named Yehoshua. I have only one friend named Kalev. Anyway, they're both my friends, I mean my rabbis, Yehoshua and Kalev. And they came back with a positive report. And because of that, the Jewish people died in the desert. And it was very unfortunate. So we learn, today, we're going to discuss a few issues about this week's parasha. We learn in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yudches. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for mercy. Hashem is going to wipe them all out, Chas V'Shalom, all of them. In the end, they weren't all wiped out, just those over 20. But Hashem is going to wipe all of them out and make Moshe into a great nation. So Moshe asks for mercy. Hashem, Erech Apayim, you are so patient. You are so slow to get angry. So I want to learn with my holiest friends a little piece of Torah from the holy Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Biberditchev. Zakru Kedushas Levi as follows: Ki Yisrael Kishasu Es Hegel Hayah Ha'avoy Neged Hashem. When the Jewish people served the golden calf, that was a sin against God. V'kan b'shloach meraglim hayah ha'avon neged parzuf Yisrael. Now, do you know what the whole sin of the meraglim was about? It was a sin against ourselves. It was against sin against the Jewish people. Shelo eminu zot sheyesh koch liYisrael lafay chagol b'svilasam. And they didn't realize that the Jewish people have the koach and the wherewithal and the ability and the capacity to capture Eretz Yisrael, even though there's so many goyim there, even though there's so many big scary Canaanites there who they think are going to eat them up alive, because the land eats you up alive, the Canaanites eat you up alive. They were afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. But if they believe in their tefillah, they know there's nothing to be afraid of. You pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He can help you. I remember 1967. I was a young married man of only 27 years old. And the armies came from everywhere. We davened. And miracle of miracles, 6 days later, we were as victorious as you can be in war. You're never totally victorious in war because people die. But you have to believe in davening. The Gemara says that davening is something that's at the top of the world, because people don't believe in the koach of tefillah. They don't believe that if you stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you daven, He'll listen and He will change the world for you. He can make a sick person healthy. He can make a poor person rich. He can make a single person married. He can make a barren woman conceive. The Lord could do it. So when the Jewish people sinned during the time of the spies, it was really a sin against the koach of Am Yisrael, and not against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they would believe in the koach of their tefillah to change the situation, to help them, to extract them from any difficult reality they find themselves in, then they wouldn't have worried about anything. So, the Beit HaLevi is going to explain, the Kedushas Levi is going to explain based on this, why the Pasuk doesn't say Rachum, that God is merciful. We always know Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum VeChanun. Here there's no Rachum and no Chanun. No merciful and no beneficent. Where's the Rachum and Chanun? The answer is, because Rachum, says the Kedushas Levi, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to the lower worlds. When a rich man has mercy on a poor man, he's feeling his suffering. He's empathizing with him. He's identifying with him. So when you have compassion, is engendered by identification. That's Rachmanus. When Hashem has Rachmanus, it means that He's identifying, so to speak, with the lower worlds. What do they need? How are they suffering? What's Chanun? Chanun is that we have Chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have charm. Aren't you charming, the Lord says. And here, when the Meraglim were sent, they didn't believe in Rachum. They didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects Himself to Am Yisrael, to the lower world. That's what they were saying. They were saying Hashem is in Rachum. If Hashem is Rachum, how could He send us into Eretz Yisrael with all those scary people? They're going to destroy us. Those giants, they're going to crush us. They're going to trample all over us. It's all over. It's over before it starts. And they cried. Because they didn't believe that Hashem had the midah of Rachum. That Hashem does connect. Hashem does identify with us. Hashem is saying up there, hey, I'm with you guys. I don't want anybody to hurt my little jewelich. I love your jewels. All the Jews are jewels. So, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't beseech Hashem with the midah of Rachum, of Rachmanus, because the Jewish people didn't believe in the Rachmanus of Hashem. So if we don't believe in it, then it doesn't exist. Then it exists. But it can't be manifested. It can't be manifested. Thank you very much, Yitzi. So, Midas Chanun means that we have Chayin, we have charm in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Jewish people didn't believe that they had charm in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimela, they couldn't say Chanun either. They couldn't say Chanun. All they could say was Erech HaPayim God. You don't get angry quickly. So that is a very important mussar for all of us. Now we should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels for us. Kiviyachol, not literally. And that was the sin of the Meraglim. That's what we have to be mitaken. So now that we have Koch and HaTfilos, and that Hashem has Rachmanas, and we have Chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not just that Hashem is Erech HaPayim, is forbearing, has forbearance, has patience, but that Hashem also has Rachmanas and Chanina. So that is the first shtickle of the base of the Kedushas Levi that I wanted to learn with you. Now, earlier on in the parasha, when the Meraglim were giving their evil report, it says, "Vanihi be'einayni kechaguvim, v'chayin hayini b'einayhem." We were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. So I think that was part of the sin. I think that was part of the sin. And we're just discussing now. The Jewish people didn't believe in themselves. They thought they were just a bunch of little grasshoppers. I think the Kotsky used to say that there was a complaint against the Meraglim that they said, V'chein einu b'einehem. We were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. So you think you're a grasshopper, okay, that's your own problem. But what gives you the right to care about what other people think about you? In their eyes, we were as grasshoppers. You're worried that you're a grasshopper, you're nothing, you have no power against the Goyim, okay? But you're worried that they think that you're a grasshopper, you're concerned with what other people think about you? Who cares what he thinks about you? Who cares? Let him think whatever he wants. Let him think you're a grasshopper. Let him think you're an antelope. Let him think you're a mouse. Let him think whatever he wants. What do you care? V'cheinenu b'einehem. So, there's a very funny Rashi on this pasuk of V'chein hayinu b'einehem. We were as grasshoppers in our eyes, and so too in their eyes. Says Rashi, how did they know that we were as grasshoppers in their eyes? The answer is, Shamanu Omrim, says Rashi, Nimolim Yesh Bekramim. They look in the vineyards, they're little nimalim, they're little ants. And therefore, they thought that in the eyes of the Yoshvei Haaretz, of the dwellers in the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Canaanites, they were as grasshoppers. So the obvious question that jumps out at all of us is, then why did they say, V'chein ha'inu b'einam? And so we were in their eyes as grasshoppers. It should have said, We were as Nemara in their eyes. The Pasuk says, we were as grasshoppers in their eyes, and Rashi says, you know they knew? Because they heard them saying, they heard the Cameron Canaanites saying, and we were as grasshoppers, as ants in their eyes. And therefore we knew that we were as grasshoppers in their eyes. I don't understand. If you were as grasshoppers in their eyes, then they should have said, they're grasshoppers in the vineyards. Look at those grasshoppers walking around the vineyards. No! They said that they're Nemalim, they're ants. So there are Girsos in Rashi that say Chagovim. But what are we going to do about the Girsa that says Nemalim? In my Rashi that I have here, I didn't check all the Girsos of Rashi. Believe neither, I will look up more. But in the meantime, you can do it yourselves. But in the meantime, in my Rashi, it says Nemalim, and then in parentheses, it says Svar Macherim Chagovim. There is such a Girsa of Chagovim. But the simple Girsa in Rashi is Nemalim. So, Rav Levi Yitzchak, in the Kedushas Levi, explains the following. Kishi Yisrael osim ratzon habori baruchu, as kibiyachol yesh aliyus lamalchus habori baruchu. When the Jewish people fulfill the will of God, then God's kingdom has an aliyah. It has a ascendancy. V'zeu ha-remez v'yas kalev. Kalev quieted down the nation. What did he say? Alo nale. What's this? Double the lashon. What's the double lashon of this tautology? I think they call it in English of alo nale. Up, go up. We will certainly go up. So what he means is ale yiyeh lemalchuso, that there's going to be aliyah. There's going to be an ascendancy to God's kingship. If naale, if we go up to Eretz Yisrael. And if we have an aliyah in our own service, going up, when a person makes aliyah, he's not only going up because Eretz Yisrael is called the highest land in the world, in Chazal, which means we know the world is circular. So, therefore, depends how you look at it. Any place could be the highest, but it means that it's the highest spiritually. So when you go up to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to a higher place spiritually, and you yourself are becoming more spiritual. So, alo means there will be an aliyah to God's malchus. Na'ale, when we have an aliyah in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, when we have an aliyah in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we make aliyah, then ale, then there's going to be an aliyah to God's malchus. V'zeu shalom az Rashi b'kan, ki emiraglim parku me'aleh mo malchus yisbarach. Ooh, that's the remez of Rashi here. The miraglim, these spies, divested themselves of the yoke of heaven. V'zeh shapirish Rashi zal nimolim. And that's why Rashi explained the word nimolim, k'maymer ha-pasuk lechel nimola atzel, rei drachea. V'chacham, go to a ant, you lazy person. See its ways and become wiser. And the pasuk concludes, asher ein lo katzin shoter u'moshel. He has nobody watching over him. He has no cops. He has no police. He has no leader, he has no ruler, and yet he still gathers all of his, he still does all of his work, he gathers all of his straw, whatever he needs to eat, even though nobody's telling him what to do. But the point that Rashi, the remez of Rashi is that we're compared to an nimola. An nimola means we don't want omachu shamayim, we don't want a moshel. Ki la shem ameluchu moshel ba'goyim. We don't want a king. We don't want a ruler. L'ramez al hanal. So when they said that we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, what they were saying was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to help us against them. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to help us against them, it means we have no leader. We have no leader anymore. We're like an Enola. We're not just like a chagav, a grasshopper. We're like an emola, we're like an ant, because we have no leader. We have no malchus shamayim. We have no king. Who's going to help us? And that's what Rashi is teaching us. Moiridik. We have to not be afraid of anybody. We have a king. Or Rav Levi Yitzchak suggests an alternative pshat. Again, why, when the pasuk says that we were in their eyes as grasshoppers, Rashi changes it to nimalim, to ants. So he says that Rav Levi Yitzchak says that it says in the Yalkut, in Bamidbar, in the Medrash, That's Talmai said to the Jewish people. How can you capture Eretz Yisrael? The entire Eretz Yisrael. Talmai was king in Israel. Ptolemy, they call him in English. And look, if we're here in Eretz Yisrael, then it must be the land is our land. Isn't that a raya? If I'm on your property, then it must be that it's my property. But anyway, that's what Talmai claimed. He said, look, I'm here. I'm in this land. So it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. To me, the Goyisha king. So how can you Jews capture Eretz Yisrael? If you do, it'll be Gezel. So the Gemara says in Erevin, and the Pasuk of Lechem El-Malat Tzel, that we can learn the Isser of Gezel from an Emala, from an ant. Because an ant doesn't steal. An ant, we learn from an ant not to steal. It means an ant doesn't steal. And that's what Rashi is teaching us. We heard them saying that the people in the vineyards, meaning these Jews, these Meraglim who are scouting out Eretz Yisrael, they're Kinemalim. They're not going to take away the land. They're like Kinemalim. They're not going to be over on Gezel. And that's why they won't take Eretz Yisrael. Like the Yalkut said, that's what Talmai said also. Talmai said that it's Gezel to take Eretz Yisrael. It's stealing. It belongs to us. We're here. It Rashi means Hashem gave it to us. So the Meraglim said, and that's what we heard them saying about us also. We're not going to steal Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to them. We're like Nimalim. We're not just like Chagovim. The Pasuk says we're Chagovim. We're like grasshoppers. And Rashi says that they were saying that we're not like Nimalim. We're like Nimalim. We're like ants. Why did Rashi change the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk? The answer is because Rashi's being Merames to us. Rashi's alluding to this Gemara in Erevin that Nimalim don't steal. And that the dwellers in the land were saying that these Meraglim, they're not going to steal the land. It belongs to us. And it seemed that the Meraglim were with them. We don't want to be thieves. It's not right to steal. It belongs to them. It sounds a little like maybe one or two political parties on the far left in Israel. The land belongs to the Arabs. We have no right to be here. The answer is, Rabbi Sai, that it ain't so. Umnom be'emes einoi kain. Is nishtazoi. Because Rashi says in the very first Rashi, I always point this out, this is how the Torah begins. If you have any sveikas, if you have any doubts about who Eretz Yisrael belongs to, I have to tell you that it belongs to God. And God, says Rashi, gave it to Am Yisrael. Od Avinu Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. So that's what we learn from the Meraglim, that Eretz Yisrael belongs to God. And God gave it to the Jewish people. And the Meraglim mistakenly thought that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Yoshei Haaretz. And if they're there, then we can't steal it. So now, we are going to turn to Bamidbar Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin and Chav Ches. We learn there that the Meraglim said that indeed it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and these are the fruits. And then they say some bad words. Efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev pa'aretz ve'ha'arim bitzuros gedolos me'od. They said the word Efes, which literally means zero, only. But the land there, the nation there is very brazen. And the cities are big citadels. And they were giants. So listen, Rabbeisai HaYakarim, to the words of the Ramban. Ba'avur shetziva osam liros hashmena hiyim razim. Moshe Rabbeinu told them to discover if Eretz Yisrael is fat or skinny. Heshuvelo ki yishmena. Eretz avas chalav u'dvash. It's filled with delicious fruits. Watermelons, grapes. What are you missing? It's gevaldik. Go to the shuk. V'gam zvas chalav u'dvashi. It has big fruits. It's flowing with milk and honey. V'al she'laso ha'yesh ba'etzim ayin. And their question, is it does it have a tree or not? They said, and these are the fruits. So until now, everything is kosher v'yosher. Everything is terrific. They were asked questions. They were sent on a scouting mission. And they came back with correct answers. Their fruits, yes. Eggs, honey, milk, shemena. Everything is terrific. And they could have just continued and said, oh yeah, by the way, the people there, they're quite large. And their cities are bitsuros. Are fortified. Ah, that's the word I was looking for. Fortified. And that would have been terrific because Moshe asked them, are they strong? Are they weak? Are they fortified? Are they unfortified? Like, what are things? They would have, all they had to do was say what you saw. Aval risham b'mila efes. Ooh. That one word, Efes. What does Efes mean? Zok the Ramban. Shehi moira dvar Efes v'nimna min ha'odom she'i efshir b'shum oifen. Something that a person can't do under any circumstances. We would say in English, impossible. You listening, Rabbi Isai? It's impossible for us to capture this land. My dearest, sweetest Meraglim friends, who asked you if it's impossible? Did we ask you if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help us capture this land? We didn't ask. What are you saying? FS? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do it for us. Who said? And who asked? But they didn't say it explicitly because they were afraid of Moshe and Aaron. But they understood, the nation understood what they meant. When they said the word FS, they mean, no chance, buddy. We're never going to capture this land. The nation understood that. And then they broke out into tears and they started to complain. So what do you say from here, from this Ramban? From this Ramban, you see something very scary. You see the koach of one word. Had everything else been said by the Meraglim, and they just would have omitted the word Efes, then the Jewish people would have had the bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would have had faith, and we could have come into Eretz Yisrael, and everything would have been terrific. Oh, but the Meraglim didn't. The Meraglim said, Efes, can't be done. And even though the Jewish people were in such a high madrega, and even though they witnessed the Aseres Hamakos, the 10 plagues, and the splitting of the sea, it didn't help. Because of the word Efes. The Meraglim said, even Beremez, they just alluded to the fact that God won't be able to help us. They lost it all. The Jewish people lost their bitachon. And they went down. So in the Sefer Chedushei HaLev from the Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim of Chano Chenech Leibowitz, he says that we find the same idea later on in the parasha. Ve'avdi Kalev Ekev Haisa Ruach Acheres Imo. Kalev had with him a different spirit. Vayamale acharai, and he filled my biddings. What does it mean, ruach acheres? Rashi says, shtei ruchos. Achas bepeh ve'achas belev. He had one spirit in his heart, and one spirit in his mouth. To the Meraglim, he said, I'm with you. I'm taking the same counsel as you fellas. But in his heart, he said, I'm going to say the truth. And that's why they were silent. When it says Vayas Kalev, Kalev silenced them, why would they remain silent? Don't let the guy talk. He's gonna convince the nation not to listen to us. The Meraglim should have said, let's not let Kalev talk. Vayas Kalev, what did Kalev do? Kalev quieted down the nation and he said, no, we can do it. Don't worry about it. So why did they allow Kalev to speak? Because they thought that Kalev was on their side. Ooh. So we learn from Rashi that Kalev wasn't praised because he fooled the Meraglim and he said the truth. Kalev is, he also did that. He did fool the Meraglim and he did say that he was successful in saying the truth. But he was really, the Iker Shevach is, the main praise is, Shtei Ruchos. He had two spirits. one bepeh, and one belave. One thing in his heart. In his heart he was with God, he was with Moshe. And with his mouth, he pretended to be with the Meraglim. So, Rav Avram Trupp was the son of the Granat, Havagoyin Rav Naftali Trupp, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim's Yeshiva. So he said that the Maila of Kalev is that his heart was not influenced by the words of his mouth. Because normally, when a person says something, so he begins to believe it. Just by the fact that he said it, he begins to believe it. That's the Koach HaDibur. And when Kalev said to the Meraglim, I'm with you guys, so that might have swayed him to actually be on the side of the Meraglim, because he said the word, I'm with you, Ani Machem. But Kalev didn't do that. Kalev, even though he said the words, Ani Machem, he remained steadfast in his faithfulness to God and Moshe Rabbeinu. And so we see that Kalev was very strong in his faith, because even though Miderech HaTeva, even though naturally a person is swayed by his words, and Kalev should have, even though he was saying Ani Imachem, I'm with you, only to fake them out, but nevertheless that should have still influenced him, because that's the way people are. And then eventually he would have gone over to their side, but Kalev was able to overcome that, and he had two spirits. The spirit in his heart, the spirit of Emunah, remained with him. And that's how the Pasuk praises him. Ruach Acheres, he had two spirits. That even though he said something bepeh, nevertheless, in his lev he remained with Hashem. So we see from here a big yesod for our lives. That whatever we say is mashpia, it influences us, even if we're only saying it as a joke, even if we're only saying it in jest, even if we're only saying it, we're telling a story, even if we say that it's not true, it's fiction, whatever we say is mashpia on us. We have to remember that, and that's why we should always say positive things, and good things, and kind things. It says in Chazal that if the whole world, right now, would just start speaking positively about each other, that'd be it, we'd come to the final tikkun. Because that's the Koach HaPeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, how did He create the world? He created the world with ma'amaros, with speech. And then when man was created with Tzelem Elokim. And that means that now we have the power of speech that God has, so to speak. We can create with our speech. It says in the Pasuk, Hu amar vayehi, hu tziva v'yamod. He said and it was. We also have that Koach. But with our speech we can create Shabbos. If we say Reini Mekabel Atzmi Shabbos Kodesh, so it becomes Shabbos immediately. If you say after Plaga Mincha on Friday afternoon, an hour and a quarter before Shabbos approximately, you say it's Shabbos for me, it becomes Shabbos. That's the Koach HaPeh. We're creating Shabbos. If you say that this loaf of bread is Usur to me, I'm not allowed to eat this loaf of bread, this loaf of bread is now Usur to you, Midaraisa, it's a neder. That's the Koach HaPeh. A person judges his friend favorably. He says that Shlomi is really a good person. He's really a good person. You have Koach by judging him favorably. Then in Shemayim they're also going to judge him favorably. That's why it says, Dan is kol adam l'kav zuchus. You should judge everybody. Who made you a dayan? Who made you a judge? So the Sfas Emes brings from the Rabbi Lublin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us judges. However we judge, what we say about somebody down here on this earth, that's Mashpia Lamala. Tremendous Koach HaDibur, what we were able to do, a bracha. If you say to somebody, you give somebody a bracha, you can change their life. Because Baruch Hu listens to your bracha, and it happens. It comes true, it comes to fruition. Because that's the Koach, tremendous Koach HaDibur. Vayipach ba'adam, nishmas chayim. He breathed into man a living spirit. Rashi there said, the famous Unkelos, Ruach Memalala. A speaking spirit. That's what it means. That's the human spirit. The human spirit is speech. That's what gives us life. Life is speech. So powerful. That's it. So We have to use our speech properly, and it has such power. It has power over us. It has psychological power over us. It has spiritual power over us. We live in a world people speak and speak and speak and speak, and most of it is at best nonsense. We have to make sure only to say things. If it has to be said, say it. If it's good, it's positive. You make somebody feel good. You can compliment somebody. You can say a kind word to somebody. You can save their life. I once heard a story of a bachur in Panovich many, many years ago, who at one point left the yeshiva. He went to work, and then he was making a wedding for his daughter. So he invited somebody that he knew from Panovich from years ago. So the person received the invitation. He couldn't understand why is he inviting me? Why is he inviting me? So the boy said he came to the wedding, and the father of this of the kala who had invited him said to him, when he asked him, "Why did you invite me? Who are you? I don't remember you." He said that when I was in Panovich, I was very depressed. I was very down and out. And I was about to leave the yeshiva. And you fixed my collar. I was walking out of the Beis Medrash, and my jacket wasn't on properly. You fixed it. You said, "Your collar isn't straight." You expressed concern for me. I decided to stay. I decided to stay. And I learned there, and I became a Talmud Chacham Baruch Hashem, all because of you. Otherwise I was going to leave. I said, nobody here cares about me. Nobody's interested in me. Just a few words of concern saved my life. He saved my spiritual life. I once read a story of a man he was a single man. He was renting a basement apartment in Brooklyn. I think it's in one of the Maggid books. You can look it up for the exact details. And his life wasn't going his way, and he was about to become Chiloni. He was about to drop all of religion. He said, "Well, people don't care about me." And his upstairs neighbors, who were renting him the apartment, they went downstairs, they knocked on his door, and they invited him up for some dessert and zmiros. And he said, "That saved me. That saved me. Otherwise, I would have given it all up." Or maybe he was about to commit suicide. I don't remember, but either way, what's the difference? Suicide is physical death. Not be keeping Torah and mitzvahs is a spiritual death. But you see the koch of a word, the koch of a word. Amazing. Amazing. And that's how I heard. What's so terrible about Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara. The Gemara says that it's worse than Gilei Arayos, Shfichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Lashon Hara is worse than the big three Avir. What's so worse than killing somebody? Okay, see, it said something bad about him. Okay, it's not nice, but why is it so terrible there? There are 17 possible lavs, los assays, 14 assays, 3 arurs. Chafetz Chaim enumerates 3 you're cursed for speaking. It's so terrible. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me, they say in English. What's the big deal? So the answer is, I heard from one of the Gona Yerushalayim, that it's not just what you're saying. It's the fact that you take your koach hadibur and you mashchis it. You misuse it. You destroy your koach hadibur. You use something so good and so powerful and so special and so holy, and you use it for the bad. That's the absolute worst. It's your koach hachayim. It's your power of life, your life, to give life to other people, and you're using it to speak negatively. That's why Lashon Hara is so terrible. Not what you're saying, but the fact that you're using your power of speech in a negative way. So I think maybe the same thing can be said about the crying. Crying has tremendous power. It says that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Shari Tfila Ninalu, the gates of prayer are closed, but Shari Dim Alo Ninalu, the gates of tears aren't closed. When a person cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's such power, that's such otzma, such energy. And what did the Meraglim do? What did Am Yisrael do? It says they cried a b'chiyah shel chinam. They cried a meaningless, useless cry. I'm going to give them something to cry about, l'doros, for all the generations. And that's the 2 Chorban Beis HaMikdashes, Batei Mikdash, the 2 Beis HaMikdash temples, and all the tragedies the Jews have suffered over the generations, that's something really to cry about. So I think Pshat in Chazal is that the Koach HaBechi is so great that we have to learn how to use it. We misuse our Koach HaBechi. We use it for nonsense, for stupidity. We're worried that we couldn't capture Eretz Yisrael. God is with you. What are you worrying about? So because of that, Hashem said, I'm going to teach you now for all the generations how to properly use your power of tears. And that is cry for the Beis HaMikdash. Cry for something that you really should cry about. Learn how to cry. Learn what to cry for. People cry because their sports team lost. People cry at the movies. Instead of using your koach to cry, all your emotions to cry at the movies, why don't you go to the hospital? Why don't you see some sick people and cry for them? That's meaningful, not these people who are playing pretend. He's not really sick. She's not really going to lose her husband. It's all fake. It's all a movie. They're getting paid millions of dollars to do this. They're feeling terrific. But people use those emotions, those strong emotions, for nonsense, for stupidity. Here in our case, it was even worse. They were using it for apikorsis. They were crying because they didn't believe in Hashem. So we have to know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something. And it's so potent. Anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us which is potent, whether it be the power of speech or the power of tears, we should always use it properly. And those are just a few of the lessons that we learn from Parshas Shlach. And we should be zocheh to internalize these lessons and live these lessons. To know that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. We're not over on what the Nemala does. We're not stealing. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Am Yisrael. And not to care too much what people think about us. We are chagavim in their eyes. We're not chagavim. We're Nemalim in their eyes. Who cares what people think about you? And to accept upon us the yoke of Shemayim. Not like the Nemalim. She'ein lem katzin shoter u'moshel. They don't have anybody ruling over them. But we do. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu ruling over us. And we should be alonale. We should have an aliyah. We should be ma'ale. We should raise Malchus Shemayim. Because we become raised. Because we want to have a leader. We want to have a king. We want a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And last but not least, we learned today that we have to know the Koach HaDibur, that one word that they said Beremez, it was only a hint. It was a hint. They said Ephes. What does Ephes mean? Am Yisrael understood. Ephes means that we have no chance against them. Because of that, we were not able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And so many of the Jews died in the Midbar. And all the tragic consequences that we suffer until this very day, all because of that word Ephes, and we lost our bitachon, to know the power of the word and to use our words in order to give people more bitachon and not chas v'shalom less. We should all be zoche to have a good Shabbos, a lichtike Shabbos, a simchadike Shabbos, ad shenizke liyom shekulo Shabbos, bevo Mashiach tzidkenu, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen.